the podcast is loading. Alongside Lodex, become a Lodex legend. Book at lodex.com.au. Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Your local tyre power. Save on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres. Buy three, get one free at Tyre Power.
Suki, suki, la, la. Welcome. We are here in Studio Lumo. Mark Bickley just got recognised. He's up and about. There's a spring in his step this morning.
I'm sitting down.
We love that. We had a good show today. Oh, here we go. Someone's having a look through the window now. This is unbelievable. More people are looking in at the moment, and it's great. And they don't realise that on the window, there's a fluid, which... Oh, hold on. She's back. Wait, she's coming back. She's having a look. Mark Bickley, Adelaide Crows, two-time premiership captain.
Don't be an idiot.
Did that not just happen?
Well, someone, a lady who looked a little bit confused, I think she was a tourist because she looked a little bit lost and she was trying to work out what was going on here.
Yeah.
So you didn't need to make fun of her.
I wasn't making fun of her. I'm the guy that's looking at the buttons and doing the phones and the stings and the funny stuff and then looking out through the glass. We had a good show today. We spoke with Big Griever, Aaron Greaves.
Yes, and they're going beautifully, aren't they, the Carlton Football Club? You spoke about the connection, which you can see. They're a really tight group at the moment.
Yes.
And I know that whilst Michael Voss was at Port Adelaide, he was working on that, and he was interacting with a guy called Hugh Van Cullenberg from the Resilience Project.
Legend.
I saw when he went to Carlton and first started coaching there, Hugh was down there and involved, and it really is about connecting with people.
Yep.
And practicing gratitude mainly. So, yeah, really nice to see that's really paying dividends.
You know, Aaron Greaves has an incredible memory. In 2019, he asked me for tickets to the USA-Australia basketball game. 2019. Mm-hmm. I said, no problem. I'll hook you up. In 2024, what's that, 5 years later, he gave me a signed Carlton Guernsey just to say thank you. 5 years later. That's amazing.
He's like an elephant.
Why?
Got a memory like an elephant. They have long memories, apparently.
Oh, do they?
Yes. They can recognise people 20 years later.
How do you know that?
They tell people. It's Jared Walsh.
They're just walking past and they're like, oh, we're going past Studio Lumo. Yeah. No problem. And then there's this big... They look familiar. We had a good show today, though. We also spoke to Darren Burgess.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah, the questions you asked will give some brilliant insight to Crows fans in regards to what he's saying to Matthew Nix, and also how the interchange works. And Miles Bergman from Port Adelaide, we had Captain's Call, we had Gogglebix and plenty more. So enjoy the podcast. We appreciate you listening. If you like it, just share it with your friends. And we'll catch you Tuesday from 6.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
Well, it's 2 minutes past 6. And we are here in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. Thanks to Kubota, take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and land pride attachments. I look across the desk and I see the man himself, Mark Bickley. He has returned. Yesterday on SENSA Breakfast, we subbed a Mark out and we brought two Marks in. Bickley out, Keane and Milligan in. So I still had a Mark presence. Welcome back, brother.
Good morning to you and good morning, everyone. Yes, apologies I wasn't here yesterday. I had some family issues to tend to. My father-in-law, who was a great man, he passed away last week and we had his funeral yesterday, which went really well. It was a beautiful service. So, apologies, couldn't be with you.
You'll find out in the Brecky Brownlow that I called Bryce Gibbs Bix twice.
Did you?
Yep. It's kind of like autopilot. Can I tell you what really upset me having Bryce Gibbs in the studio? And he was wonderful. We talked a lot about his time at the Crows. He's now playing for Victor Harbour.
What are the Victor Harbour? Are they the mighty what? The mighty kangaroos or are they the...
The cockle trains?
No, that's
the cockle divers.
Yeah, that's Port Nalunga.
I asked him if he wanted a Barocca and he declined.
What?
And I'm like... It's not just about the Barocca. It's the art of doing it together and having togetherness. So I had it by myself.
It's life's elixir for us, isn't it? It gets us going.
I agree. I agree with you. So it's wonderful to have you back. Tide Power's Power Up sale is now on. And can you believe, Bix, I was thinking this morning when I was driving my car on the Port River Expressway, I was thinking, my goodness, there's footy back tonight. Gather round. Feels like it was still going yesterday, but it was this time last week we were getting ready for the Crows in Melbourne.
Well, this is why I love Thursday night footy, because it starts the weekend. It gets you looking forward to footy and cracking game as well. So, you know, the fixturing is very good. Melbourne taking on Brisbane. They've had some close games of late. Melbourne in great form. Brisbane bounced back to some form last week with Cameron and Hipwood, who have been a bit down. So, yeah, looking forward to this.
Do they take any confidence from beating North Melbourne, though? Really?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because sometimes you need something like that,
don't
you?
You do. You just need to revisit. Okay, yes, we are good.
Yeah.
And I can mark the ball and kick it. So is it going to be as easy as that against, you know, a quality side like Melbourne? No. But you certainly get benefit out of playing well.
We will get your tips a little bit later on. You don't miss Bix's supercoachtips.com.au selections in the advertiser today. Also, speaking of tipping, the Sandful are doing this wonderful thing with us here at SEN. It is Sandful Survivor, thanks to Adelaide Oval. So sensurvivor.com.au. Tomorrow night is going to be massive for Sandful because it is going to be the Redlegs and the Bays. And if you think, we spoke about this on the Sandful show yesterday with Dan Menzel. This is the perfect flow-on effect of Cooper Stadium, the parade, where you would hope Friday night football, undefeated teams, even though they've played one game. Wouldn't it be awesome just to pack out the parade to support local footy?
Well, once again, there's people that would have gone to that, hung around the parade afterwards at the Food and Wine Festival and thought, how good is this? You know, going to the footy, then having a beer afterwards or having a meal first and going to the footy afterwards. Or you're creating an experience and then you're saying, well, this would be good. We can do this during a Sandful season and not have to worry about the 69,900 other people that came during Gather Round. So, yeah, much more comfortable, I think, this week, and you still get a great brand of footy.
Few texts early this morning, 0427154166. Dracos says, I listened to a replay of SEN Sports on the way to work. The Gather Round medal got a quick mention. Might be gaining momentum. We started that. No, don't you beat you.
That's my chest being beaten.
It was good. This was our idea. I'm happy for you to jump on board.
This is our idea.
It's our idea.
I'm glad we're going with our.
I've just noticed you're wearing the exact same shirt than you are wearing in the photo shoot one as well. That is bizarre.
Well, there you go.
Brett has sent a text saying he got the golf box prize pack, which is awesome. 0427154166. We do have that golf box prize pack today too. It's a $150 voucher to Golf Box. It's Australia's golf superstore, the best brands and biggest range, golfbox.com.au today. So text in the show. Speaking of texting in the show, I saw a photo of you with Alex from Glam Nutrition.
That's it. Now, you doubted me. I said I would go see Alex, and I stuck to my word, and I went and saw Alex. Lovely gentleman.
I feel it's AI generated because you're wearing a Crows polo shirt, and you did wear a lot of them in the 90s and early 2000s. So I'm not sure, but please talk me through this experience because I've been to Glam a few times.
No, I was there. Went down there and spoke to Alex. And
why did you wear your Crows polo? Are you flexing? Say, g'day, I'm Mark Bickley from the Crows. Was it an appearance?
No, it was just after I'd filmed the Crows show. So I still had that polo on.
Maybe take another shirt.
Sorry?
Take another shirt.
Oh, sorry. I don't feel the need that I have to change my shirt.
Well, I know, because you're wearing the same one as you are in the photo shoot.
Anyway, I went in there. I had a chat with Alex. It was good. I ordered one of his great smoothies.
Mm-hmm.
I had a cherry ripe smoothie with a heap of other additives in there.
That's
it was
good.
Fabulous. Get along and try one.
Was there sound effects of the till being used?
What do you mean?
Was there a financial transaction?
No, there wasn't. He was.
Or was it a contra agreement?
No, he was very generous. He said, since I visited him, he would shout me.
I love that. He's a legend.
He's
which
a
is
ripping
wonderful.
Bloke, and it won't be the last time we'll go through there. I wouldn't have thought.
No, we are here thanks to Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors, and land pride attachments. We've got a big show today. We're going to be speaking to Aaron Greaves from the Carlton Football Club. So they're preparing to take on Adelaide this weekend. So we'll have a chat about the footy in a moment. And also Darren Burgess, which is great. So Darren Burgess not only part of the Crows.
Yes.
But he's just bought into Peak Performance Gym alongside Greg Stafford. And that he's got some big plans for that in the western suburbs. So we'll be able to talk to him about that, but also the Crows. And Miles Bergman will join us from Port Adelaide. I want to talk to you a little bit later on about a draft year too. This has got me thinking this year about the Crows drafting and recruiting, where they're being smashed. Mm-hmm. And I think people are pretty selective and handpicking out busts and what weren't busts and things like that. It's the flavour of the month to really have a crack at the recruiters at the Crows.
And it's easy to say this person didn't work at this pick. Then you've got 50 picks afterwards and you can pick the best player.
Yeah, exactly.
And you say, hey, well, you could have taken him at 27, but you've got the value of having 5 years down the track in hindsight, and you're picking the 50 picks afterwards, and you're only taking the best player.
Everything's wonderful in hindsight, so we'll hold on to that in a moment. It is going to be a big show. It is great to have you back, Bix. 22 degrees today. It is SENSA. If you want to give us a call, 1300 736 736. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up sale is now on with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
14 minutes past six on this Thursday morning. We're in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. Thank you to Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and land pride attachments. Our nominations very soon for What's Ace? Fast, efficient and safe deliveries. Don't risk it, ace it. Ace at transport.au. Bix, you were saying you were with the Ace at Transport lads last night.
Yeah, the whole crew were at the Crows Vice President's dinner. So had an opportunity to say g'day, Darren and the team.
What is a Vice President's dinner?
Well, there's a coterie group called the Vice Presidents. And so there's a group of about, I don't know, I reckon there was maybe 80 or 90 of them last night. So I was fortunate enough to be the host, the MC.
How'd you go?
Okay. Interviewed a few players. Spoke to Tim Silvers.
Any funny stuff?
I try and steer clear of the funny stuff. Not deliberately, but that's just what happens. I try to crack a few gags and just get nothing. So that's steering well clear of it.
I think that's a good call. We'll stick the funny stuff to the funny people. Yeah. Like Ange on 1300 736 736. Ange, you got a joke for us. What do you got?
Yeah, I do, guys. Apparently, there's if the Crows lose this weekend, they're going to drop Guy Sebastian as number one ticket holder and give it to a Hollywood heartthrob, Owen Wilson.
Oh.
Do you get it?
Yeah, because I'll be 0-5.
Not Owen.
Correct.
Not Owen Wilson, though.
Why not?
Well, it'd be 0-5. That's a different guy to Owen Wilson, isn't it?
Oh, come on, Professor. You can't
really get my kid to it, mate. Ange, I was with you. I was with Ange from from day one.
Wow, that's a good message.
That's a good message. No, well, that's it. And here's the other one as well.
Ange, that was really bad, by the way. Like, I love you, but... Yeah.
If you... I had a look at the tips. You know, we're going to talk about tips later on. I'm tipping West Coast to win this week. They play Richmond. They play Richmond at Optus Stadium. Richmond have got a heap of injuries. If West Coast win and Adelaide lose, that puts West Coast on top of Adelaide.
People
on the
are waking up optimistic this morning.
Well, so am I. Oh. I'm a Crows man. I want the Crows to win. And I think they can upset Carlton.
Oh, now, come on, mate. Give you some Champions League scores.
Okay.
I'm going to save you. So yesterday was massive when it came to Champions League because of daylight savings. The game started an hour earlier. So we're up and about. Yesterday, Bix, you may have missed it, but Real Madrid and Man City had a 3-3 draw.
Yes.
And then Arsenal and Bayern Munich had a 2-2 draw.
Oh, no.
So today in the other quarterfinal legs, PSG are playing Barcelona. And currently in the 90th minute, Barcelona are leaning 3-2.
No.
And Atletico Madrid is leading Borussia Dortmund 2-1.
So this is just a quick observation, and there may not be anything in it, but why are there so many goals being scored? 3-2.
Well, you're going to have to ask the defenders.
I understand that, but these are top-line teams. I know they've got great attackers, but seems to be a lot of scoring going on. I wonder whether in like this sort of competition they are a little bit more flamboyant the way they go about it. Less defence, bit more offence, trying to win more.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, I don't really have the answer.
I didn't expect you to.
Thank you. just in other sports news, in the round ball game, yesterday the Matildas got a win over Mexico, which was very good. And tomorrow night it is Adelaide United playing at Cooper Stadium, their farewell match for Nestori Iraconda.
You want 15,000 people there, don't you?
Yeah, I would like 15,000 there. I think it's going to be awesome. And can I say something a little bit, I guess, nerdy when it comes to fan engagement? Because this is my one wood.
Yeah, it's you.
So it's actually the first time in the A-League season where we get to turn the lights off before the match, because it's the first game we've had outside of daylight savings, because it's been daylight. So that means when we get to do the player headshots and things like that, we get to do a light show, which is really cool. So we're looking forward to doing that, because for those of you who went to the Women's World Cup, you could see what Cooper Stadium was able to do with the technology that it had. We couldn't do any of it this year at Cooper Stadium. So that's good.
Have you noticed what's going on at Adelaide Oval with their new lights?
Cool. Throughout the summer, when the strikers hit a six, the lights in the light tower has actually made the number six.
Well, now they say goal after a goal.
Yeah.
So it flashes four times as a G and O and A.
But the issue is if you stare at them for too long, you can't see for the rest of the game because they're so bright. So it's a test. Look at the lights, but don't look at them.
It's like an eclipse.
Yeah.
Don't look at it.
It's 20 past six on SEN SA Breakfast. Bix, next I'm going to talk to you about one of those draft years to kind of give a little bit of hope to the Adelaide Crows supporters. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
25 minutes past six. We are in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. Good morning to you, and a thanks to Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. Aaron Greaves from the Carlton Football Club will join us in a moment. Miles Bergman from Port Adelaide. And Darren Burgess as well at 7:30 this morning. Bix, before we head to the news, I was having listening to a couple of podcasts while driving in this morning, and it was really interesting having a listen to draft analysis, because I think this has been a focus of a lot of Crows fans over the past couple of years. The 2020 AFL draft stands out to me. If I look at it now, so the Crows, for example, took Luke Pedler at 11 and Riley Thilthorpe at number 2 in that draft.
Yes.
I want to go through the top 10 very quickly, and I want you to tell me whether these players have made it or not at this point, okay? So Jamari Ugohagen at number 1.
He's made it.
Yep. Will Phillips at number 3.
Well, what about number 2?
Okay, so Riley Thilthorpe, yes, as I said, but he's still, the jury's out, he's injured, but if everything going the way that it should, I would say tick on Riley Thilthorpe.
Yep. Yes.
Will Phillips at North Melbourne?
No, that's a miss at this stage.
Awesome. Logan McDonald?
I think he's in the same boat as Riley Thilthorpe. He's going to be a good player.
Braden Campbell at Sydney at 5?
Yep. That's a tick at the moment. He's playing regular footy.
Okay, but he's playing regular footy, but is he playing good regular footy?
He's going to get there. I like him. He's got a weapon, and that is his kick.
Denver Granger Barris?
That looks like a bust.
Elijah Hollins?
Well, he's left the club. He's now he's going to be a good player. He's playing at Carlton, but he's not at the Gold Coast.
Nick Cox at Essendon?
Jury's out.
Archie Perkins?
Well,
I'd say yes.
The trouble with all these guys is they're injured too often.
Yep.
Perkins is going to be okay.
Yep. Zach Reed?
Same. Yep. Injured.
All right. Luke Pedler?
I think Luke's going to be a great player.
Yep, I agree with you. So I'm going to take you to 15, all right? So Tanner Bruin? He's already left the club.
Yeah, he's already left. He's left the Giants, but he's a really good player playing at Geelong. But
Tom Powell?
Giants get nothing. Tom Powell's a very good player at North. So that's a big tick.
Heath Chapman?
He's going to be all right.
And Connor Stone at the Giants?
Don't know a lot about Connor Stone.
Exactly. So my point from that is having a look at that draft, because there was a lot of football not being played around that time. If you think of the Crows, those two players that they got in the top 15 are two of the better players out of that top 15 in that draft. And you keep going down. There's not many names that really stand out of players that were amazing. So Port Adelaide took Lachie Jones at 16. Mm-hmm. You keep going down.
Ollie Henry, Collingwood took. Well, he's no longer at Collingwood.
Yep.
Ryan Angwin. Nope. Finlay McRae. Well, Finn's just getting a game now at Collingwood.
Yep. But,
you know, hasn't established himself. Max Holmes is going to be a good player. No doubt about that. Jake Bowie is a premiership player at Melbourne. Bailey Laurie at Melbourne. Don't know much about.
Yep.
Reef McGuinness is just starting to play for Collingwood. Blake Coleman Not sure about at the Brisbane Lions, played a little bit of footy. Braden Cook at Adelaide is back in the team, but the jury's still out. Then you've got Matt Allison, Nathan O'Driscoll, Sam Berry. Sam Berry's played a bit of footy. So they've got four players inside the...
They've got four players who are playing footy.
Yeah, under pick 30.
It's how you look at it, I think. And there's been a lot of bashing of the Crows recruiting, and fans and supporters are allowed to do that and entitled to do that. But following on from that draft, then Rochelli makes his way into the team, Isaac Rankin, Jordan Dawson. So I feel that from then onwards, some good decisions have been made.
Last 3 years, you'd be reasonably comfortable with, including this year. Most pundits think the Dan Curtin pick for Adelaide is a very good one. So it's really when you blow up a couple of picks, and they blew up Fisher McAsee at six. But even if you look around that, the picks before, after, and some of those other ones, other clubs missed as well. So once again, you pay heavily if you have a top 10 pick and you get it wrong.
Yep, 29 minutes past six, we will speak to a man who wants to continue Carlton's undefeated streak going against the Crows this weekend over in Victoria. And his name is Aaron Greaves. He's got a great connection to South Australia. Looking forward to having a chat with him. And of course, your text 0427 154 166. Thanks to Tyre Power, selected Kumho tyres at 25% off. And Studio Lumo is where we are. Energy from Australian-owned company. That's Lumo SA. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
27 minutes to 7. Good morning to you. Plenty of texts coming in. We will get to yours in a moment. Chris, thank you for sending one in. 0427 154 166. We're in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. Thank you to Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. Mark Bickley, Gather Round, I'm still fatigued from Gather Round, to be honest. And I reckon one of the best sounds of Gather Round at Adelaide Oval was when Carlton got the job done over the Dockers. To hear the fans singing that song. And also,
first time
they've won at Adelaide Oval. The Carlton fans deserve that. Ever since opening round, I think, that they were at the Gabba, the Blues brothers, and it was wonderful to see this man with a smile on his face. One of the assistant coaches at Carlton, Aaron Greaves, joins us. Greavesy, congratulations on the start to the season. How did you enjoy Gather Round?
Thanks, Walshy. Thanks, Bix. It was a great weekend. It was probably good, personally, as we caught up, mate, to be back in Adelaide and the atmosphere around footy at Adelaide Oval and seeing everyone enjoying the festival and everything that was connected to the weekend. So, it was a fantastic weekend. I think we're doing it really well.
Yeah, and of course, much more enjoyable than last year where you sort of got off on the wrong foot on the Thursday night. You lost to Adelaide. This year, it was a dour match against Fremantle, which it looks like they're going to be against the Dockers this year. But you continue to find a way to win, which must be really pleasing for the coaching group.
Yeah, it is, mate. Like, as you said, last year was a different experience and, we were the first game up last year and, the Crows sort of did a little number on us in the contest. So it's a good challenge for us coming up against them again this time. But, Dockers have certainly started the year really, really strongly too. Their contest and pressure is probably as good as we've seen this year so far at ground level. And it was a real grind, an arm wrestle and, it was nice to be able to come away and just stay connected and come away and get the job done at the end of the day.
It's interesting. You said stay connected. That was going to be my next question. I know Michael Voss has put a lot of time and energy into building that connection, and it's been something that it looks like it's really working. That the group look really connected. The form suggests that when it gets really tight, you find a way to get over the line. And what had been something of a weakness potentially of years gone by, you've turned it into a real strength.
Yeah, it has been, because it's sort of probably something that we really, Voss has been strong all the way through, but something that sort of clicked for us last year, and I guess in some ways a little bit around personnel. Like we really value our role players and the guys that come in and just get the job done and what's required for the team in any given moment, and just our ability then for those guys to really connect us up with our offense and defense has been really crucial for us, and I think the games of with the close margins are starting to become something of a consistent theme for us, which would like to not have every week, but it just shows in those moments how much the group's been able to stay connected. When we're challenged by an opponent, we don't waver away from that, and we just keep working on getting the role done and executing in that scenario, in that time. And yeah, it's certainly been working for us so far.
Do you feel that the fans now, Greavesy, have an expectation that Carlton are going to go into most of their games favourites to win, and that might give the players a bit of a lift, but also expectation can work the other way? So how are the players and coaching staff dealing with that mentally, considering how close you got last year?
Yeah, I think certainly in Melbourne, mate, you do feel it. But you feel it from a real support point of view more than anything else. Like, we know we're a big club. We love playing in front of huge crowds with just fantastic support in Melbourne. But we even felt that, though, coming over Adelaide last week. It was just like that sea of navy through the crowd there. And if you think back to round zero, there's a few hundred people turn up in their Blues Brothers suits. And, we feel like we have that fantastic support and following everywhere. And certainly with the form we've been in last year and start this year, it does bring expectation. But again, we just come back to, what we need to focus on. Make sure that we stay connected through our game and focus on the things that we can control. And if we do that more often than not, we're going to be in the game and be able to execute what we need to.
I think supporters get it. You build a lot of trust with your supporters when you play well consistently, and that's what you've been able to do. So they keep turning up knowing that you're going to have a go. I noticed you mentioned about Adelaide last year that you said they did a number on us around the footy. So that's the challenge this week, I take it, that you're looking forward to.
Yeah, it is, and it's their strength. And as much as the wins and losses haven't gone their way so far, like, they've been in some really good games and, probably been unlucky not to get a couple in their favour. So, they've certainly got some strength around the footy and their stoppage stuff and, their Crouch and, Saligo last week and always Dawson. They've got some really good players led around the footy that just really compete and really good contest-to-contest players. So, it's certainly an area of the game that we think we've really grown and developed in around our contest. It's something that we're going to need to be at our best to compete well against the Crows on the weekend.
A lot of the Crows fans listening would be hoping that you're about to say Sam Walsh is going to be left out for another week. What are your thoughts in regards to that, Greavesy?
Look, it's really exciting that Walsh is getting close. Like, he'll train fully today. If he gets through well, then he'll be available to play. And it's sort of... we've sort of been in that position a little bit this year with, Wiggering this in the first few and now the excitement of Walshy coming back and, even getting Caleb Marchbank to play, come back in and play the North Melbourne game in round three. And, it's always exciting for the group when you get, some real quality people and really quality players back in. So, we're certainly excited, like every Carlton supporter, to have Walshy back in the team.
It's an enviable position to be in. Aaron, thanks for having a chat with us this morning. South Australians got a huge Carlton following traditionally, and they certainly love what you produced last week, and there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on the Carlton Adelaide match this week, so we wish you all the best, but not too much luck.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
Aaron Greaves joining us there from the Carlton Football Club. Had a fantastic connection with South Australia with his time at Port Adelaide as well. And it is going to be a really fascinating game because a win like this for Adelaide can really kickstart their season. Mm. And a win like this for Carlton, just keeps their momentum going.
It's eventually for Adelaide, it will click and it will turn. And so, I know that everyone is at Adelaide is working hard. They're as disappointed as any supporter that they are not playing to the level they want. So, like I said, at some stage it'll click. It starts with getting your hands on the footy, and they've been able to do that, but they just have to use the ball better. So that's the challenge. They're under the roof at Marvel, which in that controlled setting can work for you. But, big challenge against an undefeated side.
Sorry, Bixie, Champions League music came in because there's a result. There's been a result in the Champions League. Both games are over now. So Barcelona have defeated PSG.
Well, that's my team.
3-2. To make matters worse, Bix, that game was in Paris. So Barcelona will be going back to Nou Camp to hopefully book that semi-final spot. Atletico Madrid have beaten Borussia Dortmund 2-1. Should we read out a couple of texts on 0427 154 166? Thank you very much to Tyre Power. Selected Kumho tyres at 25% off. What do you got for us?
It's a very long one from Chris. I'm going to paraphrase a couple of the points. He makes 3 points. I'll paraphrase a couple of them. Okay. What if a player is niggling all day, whispering in the ear of his opponent all day and no one hears? Does a complaint with no evidence get up? There'd be an investigation. If the player lays a complaint, there'd be an investigation. They use behind the goals footage. They would interview both the players and then they would come up with a verdict. Mm. It's simple as that. Then it says another point was around Matt Crouch. He's going at 7.6 metres gained per possession and the team has only won 3 games out of the 10 since he's been back in the side. Did the club bow to pressure to include him back in the side? I don't think they bowed to pressure. I think Matt, since he's come back in, so we're going to last 6 games this last year, first 4 games this year. He finds the footy. There's no doubt about that. In his form late last year, he was using his legs better. I thought last week's game wasn't his best at all. There was more of that sideways movement. And a couple of times he could have gone forward when he deferred to handballing to someone behind him. So I just feel like that's a definite work on for him. And that's what's challenging Adelaide. They're not being instinctive enough and not moving forward enough. So Matt's a good player and he finds the footy. But he's just got to be more penetrating with his disposal. Or
do they get to a point though?
Give it to someone who can be more penetrating.
Do they get to a point where the game on Thursday, there were glimpses when Isaac Rankin was in the midfield, fantastic, had an impact on the score, awesome. But then there were glimpses when you had Berry, Crouch, and Laird. Mm. They're all very similar players. Like, and if the Crows keep losing, do they have to make a call on at least one of them?
Well, it's about balance. They've got to find the balance that is working. And there's games last year where all those players played and played really well. I'll point to the showdown. Last year, I couldn't tip Adelaide because I looked at the midfield and thought to myself, how are they going to play against Rosie Butters and Horn Francis, who have burst speed, they have leg speed on the outside? And what happened was, Adelaide just won the ball at the source, and it didn't. Very rarely did those players from Port Adelaide get the opportunity to use their speed or use their burst of power, and that was successful last year. So if you've seen it working, but it's not working at the moment, so you've got to find that balance. Now they tuned it up last week with Saligo in there about 80% of the time, which worked really well. They've got to keep finding the mix that works best, and I wonder whether Jordan Dawson may go back to halfback. They're really struggling with their ball movement out of defence. He's the best decision maker and kicker across halfback, and that opens up a spot for a Rankin, Saligo, Pedler, whoever they feel is the next young player to move through the midfield.
Callum sends in a text, my biggest takeaway from the slur incident, is it Finlayson or Finlinson? It's Finlayson. Mm. If anyone says Finlayson, I heard Caroline Wilson do that at the start of the week. It's wrong. It's incorrect. Do better, Caro. We also had Alex, who's texting this morning because you photoshopped yourself in a photo with Alex from Glam during the week. Just checking up on my new best mate, Mark Bickley. Who would Ken drop to bring in both Ollie Wines and Sam Palpepper? I'm going to ask you that a little bit later on in our captain's call. Can you read the top one from Nigel? Because I actually want to quiz you on this, Bix, and I think it's important that Nigel holds me to account here.
Walshy, you're kidding yourself if you are trying to make an argument against the AFC's draft failures. Seriously, at the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding as to what we have accumulated in the past decade, and that pudding doesn't taste any good.
Okay. So, Bix, I need your honest view on this. Nigel's absolutely right, and my point was saying that the 2020 draft onwards has been pretty good for the Crows. The ones before that have been horrendous. What do the Adelaide supporters want? So with this, with the team and the squad that's there right now, do the Adelaide supporters want Justin Reid and Hamish Ogilvie to be put up and sacked in front of everyone? Guys, someone needs to go. And if that happens, you're not going to see any impact to the list for the next 5 or 10 years because if you're drafting players. So from that, in a few years' time, these decisions that have been made from 2020 onwards might actually be really, really good players. I understand that the decisions that have been made have been poor, but we live in a world when we want instant gratification. So the Crows fans had an expectation they'd play finals this year and potentially push for top four, potentially make a grand final. That's what we want as a footy public. I just don't know what do footy fans want in this situation?
Well, I liken this to, how would you rate Dizzy Gillespie's performance coaching the combined three South Australian sides last year? Because he makes the grand final of the Big Bash. You don't win a game in the 50 overs, and you didn't have a great, you know, you had some good performances and, you know, just not far off. So you can't say he can't coach because he got to a grand final in one of the forms, but it's difficult. So you say about recruiting. Adelaide, they're paying for missing the top 10 picks, you know, whether it, or the first round picks that they've had in regards to Mackesy, Gallucci, and those picks. But then you could argue, well, it's, you'd think that'd be the easier job to get the top 10 pick right, as opposed to turning Riley O'Brien from a rookie into a really good player. Grabbing Ben Keys out of oblivion and turning him into a player who's finished in the top five in your best and fairest a couple of years. Grabbing Mark Keane from Ireland and turning him into a player who's going to be a regular defender for you. So those are, they're the hard things to do. So you give them a tick for that, but then they're missing, they're paying for the sins of missing those top picks. People are being critical of, at the moment, that you're seeing all the draft picks there and saying, oh, Darcy Fogarty should be doing better and Luke Pedler should be doing better for first round picks. I think most people believe that they have got the talent to be able to do better, and Darcy Fogarty would love to be playing better, and we've seen glimpses of it, but he's got to be more consistent. So
if that's the case then, and Darcy Fogarty isn't performing to expectation, is that the recruiter's fault or is that the coach's fault?
Well, this is the nuance of recruiting. And then you get people who say, we should take more South Australians because, you know, Victorians go home. Well, then you take Fogarty and you take Pedler, they're South Australians, you know, like, so it's very difficult. The short answer is, and I'll say it, said it at the start, when you miss first round picks and you do it for a period of 3 or 4 years in a row, and that's what they're paying for right now. They should, blokes like Mackesy and Gallucci and, you know, Miles Boholke was in the 20s and a couple of others. They're all players that you should be saying they're 80 to 100 game players now and are regular contributors to our side. And they've got a big gap there, unfortunately. Now, the last 3 years, not so bad, but people are still looking at the sins of the past.
I'm also not a massive fan of pudding. I know that the proof is in the pudding, but I'm not a pudding guy.
Yeah.
Because you're an ice cream guy, yeah?
Yeah. Just the other thing as well around Adelaide and where they're at, people want someone to pay. And unfortunately for Adelaide fans, if you wanted the coach to pay, guess what? They've just reappointed him for 2 more years. So he's off the table. He can't pay.
Everyone always wants someone to pay. They just want someone to be sacked. And is that going to make you feel better? Maybe short term. Is it going to help the club? Maybe long term. But I don't know. All right, what do you think, Crows fans? 0427 154 166. We are in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
5 minutes to 7 on SEN SA Breakfast. Our Goggle Vix in a few moments' time will cover everything in regards to the three-match sanction handed to Port Adelaide's Jeremy Finlayson. We'll also speak to Miles Bergman a little bit later on this morning as Port Adelaide prepare to take on Frio Saturday night at Adelaide Oval. We're in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. Thank you to Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. Bix, before we get into a couple of text messages and head to the news, it is time for this. Let's find out what's ACE. Fast, efficient and safe deliveries. Don't risk it. ACE it. acetransport.au. As we mentioned, you saw the team from ACE it last night.
Yes, yeah. Caught up with Darren and a couple of that up table at the Vice President's dinner last night at the Adelaide Football Club. Good supporters.
So we spoke to Nick Haslam earlier this week about LIV Golf, and golf's on the top of everyone's mind at the moment with the Masters and everybody preparing to touch down in South Australia. You know, we got told yesterday in compliance training, which basically tells you what you can and you can't say on the radio, that the mics are always on.
Okay.
So just be aware the mics are always on. Unfortunately, I think Tyrrell Hatton did not understand that as he took a shot yesterday and gave his own thoughts.
I can reach those trees, can't it? What a bounce that was. If bounce is left, it's fine. You.
So in that exchange, you could hear the commentators go, excuse me, there was an F, there was a C, and there was a W. There's a lot of expletives there.
And he's having a crack at himself.
Yes.
Can he be offended?
He's real kind of Jordan Clarked it, didn't he? She's having a go at myself, not anyone else.
Oh, dear. No, well, he's very unhappy. Clearly the ball bounced right, not left.
Yes.
That's the issue.
Speaking of golf, we do have that golf box prize pack to give away a little bit later on. It's Australia's greatest golf superstore. Best brands and the biggest range shop at golfbox.com.au today. We did have a few texts coming in. Big 0427154166.
Let's talk about this one. This one's more in your camp. It's around, says, hi, boys. I'm very glad that Nestori, I think it is, Nestori refuses the leftover call by Vidmar because he is a classic upcoming player. So what's this all about?
So Nestori Irinkunda was left out of the squad for the Oli Roos, which made headlines last week. And I said yesterday to Gibbsy, I think it was pretty courageous for Tony Vidmar to leave him out. He's the best young player in Australian football at the moment. But I would be of the belief that he was left out of the team due to, I guess, growth, development, and probably things that we don't know. Because if it's based on pure football ability, then he's in the squad.
Is it possible that they could have met a week or two ago to discuss who's going to be in the squad, and that was when Nestori was just battling through that form
100%. And maybe Bayern Munich said, we don't want him to play because he's got bigger things to happen over the next few weeks. Wonderful. So then Marco Tilio is injured, and then Tony Vidmar and the Oli Roos called Nestori up and said, hey, bro, do you want to come back into this squad? And Nestori said no. So he said, absolutely not. It's not right for me. I'm making myself unavailable for this. So they've gone back to him. I mean, it's good for Adelaide United because we get to keep him for the last couple of games of the season. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing he's not playing for the Oli Roos. I think for his development and what he has to learn on and off the pitch, he's got a really good support network at Adelaide United around him and with the PFA that will hopefully help him get in the right headspace. And he addressed it this week. He hasn't been in the right headspace this season because he's an 18-year-old kid that's going to one of the powerhouse clubs in one of the top flight leagues. There's a lot of expectation on him, which would be challenging to deal with.
Yes. Okay. So that explains that then. So he's going to be with Adelaide, which is good.
Yes. And make sure he gets to Cooper Stadium tomorrow night. So just before the 7 o'clock news, we are going to head to Gogglebix in a moment. We are going to Gogglebix basically reflects on all of the TV shows that we may have missed. They, of course, were talking in detail in regards to Jeremy Finlayson last night, and we'll get to it in a moment. It is SENSA Breakfast. We are going for a top of 22 degrees today. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
2 minutes past seven. Good morning. 22 degrees today. A beautiful morning across Adelaide. Footy is back. Can you believe it? We have our Brekkie Brownlow a little bit later on, thanks to Con and Lena at the Brighton Trophy Centre. And Mark Bickley, as you make your way back into Studio Lumo.
Yeah.
Con Kedekidis from Brighton Trophy Centre. It was his birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, Con. He's 35?
They're the best in SA. 35, I reckon, would be around the mark for Con. The best in SA Brighton Road. And I managed to pop into the Brighton Trophy Centre yesterday to say g'day to Con and Lena.
Did you drop our present off?
No, I didn't. I dropped my present off, Bix. You can't take credit for that one. But a lovely human being. So happy birthday to Con and thank you for your support.
Good on you, Con.
Also, before we get into Gogglebix, I just need to know, because we are living in a world where we need to be careful what we say. One of our producers and our boss, really, Sam Fantasia, just walked into Studio Lumo and he said, hey, can I give you some feedback? And I'm like, oh, no, because that's never good. And he said, your hair's looking wonderful today. because I gave it a tight shave last night. So basically, Sam has noticed that I've had a haircut, which is weird because I don't really have hair, but I took it as a compliment.
You should have said, your skull looks great today. Your scalp, because that's what we're looking at. There's not much hair there.
But I've got a good shaped head, don't you reckon?
Yes. It looks like a bowling ball. It just needs those three poles in the top of it.
I got two nostrils and a mouth. I got three holes in my head, right?
Every Monday evening, more than 4 million Australians choose to spend time watching shows about footy. Find out what Mark Bickley was supposed to be watching on Gogglebix.
Yes, now, this is a special edition of Gogglebix because normally we do this on a Tuesday, but because of the Jeremy Finlayson verdict and his three-game suspension, there was a lot of discussion about it. So,
can I ask quickly, sorry to cut you off.
That's okay.
What did you make of it, three games? Because I haven't heard what you thought of it yet.
I thought that was around the mark. Okay. That was where I was hoping it was going to land.
Yep.
Having said that, I also thought that's where Alistair Clarkson was going to land around the two-game mark. So basically, if you haven't caught up on all the discussion around it last night, we want to let you hear what some of the key people are thinking. So let's kick it off with Matthew Lloyd.
My thoughts are that he got it wrong. He realised that straight away. The AFL's taken this very, very seriously, as they should. But I'm still disappointed in that, you know, the inconsistencies within the penalties over the last month. If Jeremy Finlayson was a bigger name, would he have got the 3 weeks? Has he been an easy person to do this to in regards to the 3 weeks compared to what happened with Alistair Clark?
So there you go. Matty Lloyd on Footy Classified last night. Jimmy Bartel also bought into the argument.
I believe the AFL is consistently inconsistent and there are double standards in its approach to dealing with players compared to others on behavioural matters. Also, if this type of conduct is a 3-week sanction for a player, it should be for everyone involved in the game and it should be clear everyone in the industry up front rather than open-ended approach that is currently in place. Which highlights one thing for me, gentlemen, is that you don't compound a bad decision in the first place, which you started with there, Damo, because you missed sanctioning Alistair Clarkson. That doesn't become the benchmark. You get the opportunity to fix a previous mistake.
And that's the conundrum. If we think that Alistair Clarkson should have been suspended and he wasn't, and we want consistency, so do we just overlook the fact that we think that Jeremy Finlayson should be suspended and say, no, we can't now because we didn't suspend Alistair Clarkson?
I think it's a really good point from Jimmy Bartel about the compounding of it.
Let's get it. Let's try and say, oh, well, maybe we did make a mistake and we got the Clarkson one wrong, but this one here, we've got to stamp this out. We don't want this at all. And they've done that. They've sent a really strong message. Mark Robinson tried to explain why there was a difference between Alistair Clarkson and also Jeremy Finlayson.
My understanding is that Clarkson was responding to comments from St Kilda people to him. And that's what he said. So it was unprompted. He was reacting. And my understanding is that part of the reason is St Kilda players weren't offended by what Alistair Clarkson said, whereas Essendon players and Essendon were very offended by what Jeremy Finlayson
instantly recognised what it was on the field.
And that played a role. That played a role in determining.
I don't buy into the second point that. Because the St Kilda players weren't offended by the slur, then that makes it less of a slur. Because once it gets publicised, it sends that message that this is how we talk in the game. This is how our thought leaders react. And they use this sledge, you know, as a way of getting at people. It's a blight on the game. So it shouldn't matter if that person that you're directed at isn't offended. It's the fact that this language is in our game and it pushes people away and it doesn't welcome them. Mitch Cleary also spoke about the nuance that's involved in this decision.
My understanding, the two key frameworks to this, JB, and very few people will say this publicly. One, the word Finlayson used was worse than the word that Clarkson used. And two, that Finlayson wasn't prompted, whereas Clarkson was provoked. Response to the Webster-Simpkin incident and also some back and forth between St Kilda players. Now, two different sets of language were used in the statements. One, Clarkson saying it was unacceptable and highly inappropriate language. Finlayson, it was unprompted and highly offensive homophobic slur. So it's important to realise that Clarkson in the statement in the AFL said there was no reference to homophobic slur.
Mm. So that's an interesting one, isn't it? So they're basically saying that, yeah, the words Clarkson used weren't as homophobic as the word that Jeremy Finlayson used.
Yeah.
We're splitting hairs, aren't we?
I think so. The thing that I took out of last night, and I'm glad you played all that stuff then, because it gives a bit of clarity around it, because it's been delivered now, the sanction. He's going to miss 3 games of footy, and we just leave it there, okay? Mm-hmm. And we take our learnings from this.
Yes.
The question that I had was when Jeremy self-reported, which has assisted, I feel, the length of the suspension. So that was acknowledged that because he was on the front foot.
Yep.
So that lessened the suspension. Did he self-report before Essendon reported? Because we knew that the St Kilda players were unhappy with what happened with Alistair Clarkson. The comparisons of Taylor Walker. Taylor Walker was reported. He didn't self-report. Mm-hmm. But it was only last night we found out that Essendon were unhappy with it. So did he get in early before the Essendon guys reported?
I think we can only... I think the contrition is real from Jeremy Finlayson. I've had other people say, oh, well, it came up on the microphone, so, you know, like he...
I'm not saying the contrition's not real, but I'm saying that the Essendon players would have had to be disgruntled with it for it to go further.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things that can happen. One is it only takes one person to hear it. And that's the example with Taylor Walker. Walker was having a private conversation that was overheard, and it only takes that one person to hear it to be able to report it. So if the umpire had have heard it, they're duty bound to report it.
Yep.
If another player hears it, that player can say to the umpire, this is what happened.
And that player with the training that happens pre-season, from what I believe, that player is duty bound to report it too.
As well. So
it's not a choice. It's your responsibility to report it if you actually care.
So maybe Jeremy said it, instantly saw the reaction from a player.
Yep.
It's like, hey, you can't say that. And then says, uh-oh, I've said the wrong thing here.
Yes.
And then that's probably the cycle of events. In the end, like, once again, I think we judge people on a body of work. And what we see with Taylor Walker, I hope we judge him on his whole career and not that snippet. And I think Jeremy Finlayson is in a similar vein. I think we've all seen him be a really solid citizen. And this is something that he's done that he's regretted. And hopefully we look back at the end of his career and he sees this is a moment for him to get better. And he's talked about that and he's going to do some more education. And this will be part of a journey that he goes on, but we shouldn't define him.
It is 11 minutes past 7, going for a top of 22 degrees today. In a moment, we have our nomination for Pull Up Your Socks, All Day Socks by Underworks. Comfiest ever socks for that new sock feeling wash after wash. We'll do it after this. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
16 minutes past 7. Do not forget that the Sandful Grand Final getaway is up for grabs. You play Sandful Survivor, all thanks to Adelaide Oval for your chance to win. sensurvivor.com.au. We have so many texts coming through, Mark Bickley. We will get to them in a moment. There's lots in regards to the Crows, Jeremy Finlayson, and plenty more. Nigel said earlier that the proof is in the pudding, and I said pudding is disgusting. And then Nigel has responded to that saying, we can all agree that pudding tastes like a garbage bin. So I totally agree with that. All right, Bix, before we get into the texts, because it is Thursday, we need to know who has to pull up their socks.
Please do something. Do. Don't think, Mick. Don't hope. Do. At least you can come up and say, I did this. I shivered it. I played on. At least I did something.
Pull up your socks on SENSA Breakfast.
All Day Socks by Underworks. Comfiest ever socks for that new sock feeling wash after wash.
I want to talk about Sonia Hood, who is the CEO of the North Melbourne Football Club. She's part of a new breed of female administrators who are doing great stuff in the footy world, breaking down barriers and, like I said, being excellent at their job. Now, I want you to listen to Tom Morris reporting on what happened across the weekend.
She interacts with fans, she posts photos with fans, and she's been forced to delete her Twitter account the last couple of days simply because of the vile abuse that she's been copping on it. I spoke to her a few minutes ago. She said the banter I have with Kane Corns is fun and good-natured, so it's not about that, but the stuff I copped on the weekend was out of line and revolting, and I don't feel the need to be part of this world. This is a call she hasn't made lightly, but this is a call that she's made simply because the abuse has been so vile towards her.
In relation to what?
North Melbourne, the way they're playing, people tagging her in tweets so they know that she's going to see it. And she says, I don't need this in the world. But this has been such an important part of her presidency to interact with fans. It's a shame she won't be able to do that anymore via this forum.
Sorry, she's the chair, not the CEO. But that is sad news in regards to that, because people love being able to interact and to be able to see what's going on. She's trying to be open and transparent with this rebuild of this new club, and yet some people just feel the need to abuse and be vile, and now that is taken away from everyone. So just think, like, you're a supporter. Yes, you can support, but it doesn't mean when it doesn't go your way, you can just spew vitriol on people. It's just not fair.
It's a good nomination, Bix. We had a nomination on the text line, 0427 154 166. This is from Mark. To Mark, pull up your socks. You do realise that references to baldness are inappropriate. Baldness is due to a long-term medical condition, just like other conditions and resultant physical appearances. That's a good text from Mark.
I didn't realise baldness was a medical condition.
Can I say this as someone that experiences aggressive male pattern baldness?
Yes.
I have no problem with you discussing my physical appearance and the fact that I'm follically challenged.
Yep.
I have hair in other parts of my body, which I won't discuss.
On your face, you got a bit going on there this morning.
But I'm bald. Yeah. And I feel that there's a lot of positive things that come from that. It's, as you would know, it's cheaper. I don't have to pay for haircuts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I moisturize regularly.
Mm-hmm. Your hat fits better.
Yep. I don't have to spend a lot of time on video games creating a player because I look like the person before you create the player.
No avatars. Do you have to worry about that?
So I'm fine with it.
So just on this, because you had, so how this all started,
Sam Fantasia started the bullying.
Came in and said, you got a really close shave this morning.
Yeah, he said I had a good haircut.
Yeah, and so you went the really close shave on your head. Yeah. You've got the prickles on your face. Like, what part of you says, I need to really tidy up this top bit and be really close shaven, and then I'm happy to have a 5 o'clock shadow on my chin.
Well, my life mantra is business at the top, party down the bottom.
That's a connotation I don't want to go.
You're just disgusting and that's inappropriate, but I'm saying that I've got no problems with you talking about specifically my baldness. You're not talking about anyone else.
No, just you.
You're saying my baldness.
And I'm sort of not totally out of the sort of trouble.
Your head looks like a Lego character. But
my friends say that I have a baboon's bottom on the back of my head because I've got this little sort of patch at the back where it's sort of disappearing. So,
can you turn around and show me the back of your head? Yeah, it is real baboony. David Baboony. It's 22 minutes past 7. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bigley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
27 minutes past 7. Darren Burgess joining us very soon from the Adelaide Crows. He's also got a big announcement in regards to the fitness industry in South Australia. We have so many texts to get through. We'll do that in a moment. Miles Bergman from Port Adelaide will also speak to at 8 o'clock. 1-300-736-736. Good morning to you, Ange. What do you got for us?
Hi, good morning, boys. Couldn't believe it. I heard Robbo say what he said last night. And I don't think discrimination is discrimination, right? It's not like a speeding fine where if you go 20k's over the limit, it's one fine. Or, you know, if you're not wearing a seatbelt, it's the other fine. Discrimination is discrimination. So the fact that St Kilda weren't offended by the comments what Clarko says tells me that maybe they missed the compliance training and their awareness is a lot lower than that the Essendon club and the players are. They seem to have better awareness than St Kilda. So for me, it's just inconsistency. They're protecting Clarko because of who he is, and it stinks. And I think what happened to Finlayson, he deserves the three matches, but so does Clarkson. So discrimination is discrimination, no matter what it's at.
I appreciate your thoughts there, Ange. Well considered. I want to read a text out. We've got a bit of time to do some text messages.
No, we don't.
We don't?
No.
Okay. Well, I thought we were going to do this.
Yeah. We are, but we've got to go to the news in about 60 seconds. Okay, so if you can get out 5 minutes of stuff in 60 seconds, then...
All I just want to say is there's a good text here. Crows have to play the long game. If we continue on the current trajectory, time for some of the older players in the list to maybe not be reviewed or traded. Open up cap dollars. Hit the free agency market with players like Haywood, Cummins, Perriman, Berry, Petty, all those coming up. It's interesting because there's a little bit of dialogue that's starting to emerge out of that. So we'll play some grabs after this and just listen to who Adelaide may have been talking to already.
We're talking potential 10-year deal. Mm. You know who wouldn't be happy with that? Old mate Kane Corns. He doesn't like this.
10 years.
Jeepers. There's still plenty more to come on the show, including Brecky Brownlow. Thanks to Con and Lena at the Brighton Trophy Centre. Happy birthday yesterday to Con. And Bix, your tips, supercoach.com.au. I've heard a little whisper that you have taken a gamble early in the season and tipped a roughy. We'll find out who that is very soon. It's SENSA. Darren Burgess after the news.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
27 minutes to 8. Good morning to you, going for a top of 22 degrees today. We have so many texts coming in and we certainly have time to get to them. We will do that in a moment. And also, the reported 10-year deal that Adelaide may have offered to a young gun of the AFL. Bix, before we go to Darren Burgess, wanted to quickly go through the Australian Boomers. They have announced the squad for the Paris Olympics. So some names that stand out. DJ Vasiljevic is in the squad.
Wow, good
which
move.
Is wonderful. Jack McVeigh, who confirmed we're going to speak to him over the next couple of weeks. Jack McVeigh, who was a grand final MVP. Matthew Dellavedova is in the squad, which is wonderful because he wasn't part of the last international campaign that they had in the FIBA World Cup. Mm-hmm. So he's in there. The usual suspects, Joe Ingles, Paddy Mills, Josh Giddey, no Ben Simmons.
Why not?
Well, he's injured at the moment, but that's the common thread of Ben Simmons. So he won't be part of that. Out of the NBL, Chris Golding, Sam Frolling, Rocco Zakarski, Will Magnay, Will McDowell-White, Jack McVeigh, Keanu Pinder, DJ Vasiljevic, and Delly. So that is wonderful. Speaking of basketball, I actually got my basketball fix at a local gym in Port Adelaide run by Sean Baker and his wife, Jamie. And they have expanded, and it's going to bring new life to the western suburbs. And Peak Performance announced during the week that they have some significant upgrades happening with the new facility and some significant names joining, which is wonderful, not just for the people of the western suburbs, but for South Australia as a whole. And one of those people involved from the Adelaide Football Club is Darren Burgess. Burjo, good morning to you. Congratulations. I'm so excited for yourself, for Greg, for Sean, but most importantly, for the western suburbs.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We're really pumped to be involved in a place like Peak and with some great people like Sean and Jamie.
How did it all come about, Burjo? How did you start learning about it? I know Sean's had an involvement with the Crows in their AFLW program and the Adelaide Lightning, but how did this relationship start to begin?
Well, I guess it was a bit serendipitous, really. I had no plans to be involved in a gym or to do anything of this nature. But I'd been involved with Sean a little bit through an internship with Port Adelaide. And then I went away for sort of 10 years or so, and Sean reached out to me and just said, look, can you come down and meet the people and help with some of our younger coaches and hold a few sessions down there? And then as I got to know Sean and Jamie and the type of operations they run, over the last sort of 3 years, I just thought this is a great facility serving a great purpose. So as you said, the people of Western Suburbs, but also Greater Adelaide. And And Greg Stafford and I are childhood friends, and he's obviously well known in the AFL community. We had actually been offered a few other opportunities in similar ventures, gyms and recovery centres, but we thought, you know, let's join forces with Sean and Jamie and what they're doing at Peak, because we believe in how they go about it.
Well, it is exciting for all the people that feel like they want to get a much more in-depth experience. You know, the knowledge you bring and are able to share with the coaches and trainers down at Peak, I guess, then filters down to the weekend warriors who get access to the same know-how of what the AFL stars are getting.
Yeah, you hope so, Dix. That's exactly the plan, is that, you know, hopefully we can bring some sort of professional training standards and tips and tricks and recovery and to help those who are not yet at the professional level, or like me, will never be good enough to play at the professional level. But they can get some, you know, some tips from people who've been lucky enough to work at that level for a while. So that's the plan. You know, I've been involved in a bunch of sports and both, you know, full-time and consulting. And so hopefully I can help out. There's a range of athletes that are down there at Peak. And, yeah, obviously myself and Greg are going to be very much in the background. Jamie and Sean and the great trainers there are the ones that do all the hard work, but hopefully we can help them along the way for sure.
Well, let's talk about Adelaide and the predicament they find themselves in. So they haven't had a win so far in the first four rounds, and I think most people are a bit flat because the expectations were pretty high. Talk to us about the mindset of the players. I'm guessing they can't afford to be flat. They've got to be up, and they're continuing, I'm guessing, to be working really hard on making those improvements they need to do.
Yeah, I think you've probably heard it said by a few people, but it's never as bad as you think. It's never as good as you think if you're 4-0 versus 0-4. So one thing that we pride ourselves on is sticking to the process and going through and reviewing each game really, really thoroughly, and then identifying areas that we can improve. We certainly think the game against the D's was a step in the right direction. There was a little bit more of the Crows' identity in that game. We just weren't quite good enough to get it over the line. So, yeah, the mindset is still really positive, albeit, you know, working hard.
Darren, we watch the broadcast and we go to games, and I see you often talking with Matthew Nix and you know, putting your heads together. I've heard him say that you're a bit of a sounding board to him as well. What are some of those discussions that you have during the game and during the breaks?
Yeah, it's with Matthew down on the sideline. Obviously, you have a little bit more access to him, and he has a bit more access to me. So, it's my job on game day is looking after the rotation. So, you know, putting players on and off, either based on fatigue or where the coaches want them. So we're just discussing, okay, what can we do next to try and, you know, either create some more opportunities or stop some of the opportunities coming to the opposition. Discussing different, one of my jobs is to maybe bring to light some of the things that were discussed during the week, which you know, I'm in all the coaching meetings and opposition meetings. So sometimes in the heat of battle, they get lost a little bit. So I might bring up those sorts of things. So nothing too intricate, more about the rotations and position of players.
It's interesting because we see it different times, and we saw it happen last weekend where the play gets on the outer side and, you know, you've got players on the bench who are desperate to come on, and sometimes they can be delayed by 3 or 4 minutes. What does that do to your rotational schedule that you have, and how do you adjust for that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because you're right, that's exactly what can happen. Our rotations, at least in the clubs that I've worked at, are based on a couple of things. One is our knowledge of the player's fitness level. So, you know, some players who can run all day, like a Chase Jones, will be on longer than other players who might not be able to. But also the flow of the game. It's very rare that if you know, Isaac Rankin kicks 2 goals, that even if he's due for a rotation, we're not going to take him off, because obviously he's feeling pretty good. But certainly if the play is over the far side, then what my job is then is to calm the guys down on who are trying to get on, and obviously look for opportunities to get them on, because that can be frustrating for everyone.
The Crows play at Marvel Stadium this weekend. What are the intricacies of that? Is the game actually quicker? Do you get any data that suggests the players move a bit faster? And the flip side as well is after the game, is it harder to recover? Is the ground a bit tougher over there? What are the nuances with Marvel Stadium?
It's a little bit of a myth, Bix, that people run faster at Marvel Stadium. The players still run the same
speed,
but what does happen is the ball travels a bit further. So, certainly, as opposed to sort of the middle of July when we're playing at, I don't know, Ballarat or even at the MCG, the ball certainly, players can keep the ball further. So it tends to be a little bit more distance and sprint covered during the game, but at the same speed. But it's mainly about the ball.
Berjo, before we let you go, I've had a look at the plans of Peak and the facility which is going to be made, and I'm so excited for Sean, Jamie, yourself and Greg. I do have a question to ask you, though. Sean encourages me to get into the contrast bath. So there's one really warm one and there's one ice cold one. And I think he's lying because I can't get in that ice cold bath for more than a minute before, well, I go through physical pain. Is it actually good for you or is this some sort of stitch up?
On this occasion, Sean's correct. It isn't a stitch up. I'm sure he's got plenty of other tricks up his sleeve, but no, Jared, I could not recommend the cold plunges more highly, both for recovery and also for as part of your daily routine. So I expect to see you in there for more than a minute.
No one wants to see me in there with just my bathers on. Mate, congratulations. I'm so excited, Berjo. We know the fantastic resume you have in international sport and the person that you are. And it's wonderful to have you back in Adelaide. You've been here for a few years now, but to do what you're doing and really put back into the community here in Adelaide is only going to mean good things. So good luck for your team this weekend, but also for yourself, for Greg, for Sean and Jamie and Peak. And we appreciate your time. I'm on SEN.
Appreciate the kind words.
It's wonderful. He's a great man, Berjo. He's IP, and I think like the ability for him to connect with people, how to get the best out of their body, but also their mind is world class.
Absolutely. He's so good. He had so much value in it. And I was keen to explore the discussion around with Matthew Nix because he's talking at a greater level about the football than any other fitness coaches,
yeah.
I would say. You know, so he's talking, you know, like he sits in all the meetings, so he's making sure that Matthew Nix's train of thought, you know, stays focused on the areas that they want to work on. He's talking about, talked about Isaac Rankin. I was so glad to hear that if a player's running hot and got a couple of goals, the rotations go out the door, you know, so he's got a feel for
that.
Yeah,
and I'm so glad you asked the other question, though, because the end of the Melbourne game, Jordan Dawson couldn't get on the ground.
Dawson and Crouch on the bench, ball on the other side. And the interesting point about that is part of his role is keep those players calm. You can see them up on the bench. They're walking up and down like prowling, you know, lions. They're desperate to get back out there. They're getting all wound up. So part of that as well, keeping them calm, making sure that when they get out there, they're in the right mindset to be able to have an impact straight away.
Now, we have captain's call in a moment, but we wanted to then have a look at the thing you were talking about earlier in regards to Will Haywood and potential long-term deals. So let's have a listen to Mitch Cleary to start off with, and he was talking about potentially the Adelaide Crows being involved in a big deal.
Briefly, Errol Goulden signed a 4-year deal with the Swans. He said tonight he had offers of a 10-year rival. We expect the Crows to be in that conversation. They were the ones among those coming hardest for Errol Goulden, but he signed till free agency. And good news at the Saints, Matheus Filippo closing in on a new deal. His management met with the Saints during the weekend of Gather Round.
So there you go. Crows potentially offered Errol Goulden.
Oh, Errol.
A 10-year deal. Now, Goulden's only 22, so 10-year deal, 32. Whether you like 10-year deals or not, or 8-year deals or 7, they're the reality now. If you're going to try and lever one of the best players in the competition out of a side, a la Sydney, Buddy Franklin away from Hawthorn, you have to offer something extraordinary. Now, I think Adelaide would be derelict in their duty if they weren't trying to get Errol Goulden on a long-term deal, because he looks like being one of the stars of the competition for a long time. So I know Adelaide have been accused of being conservative in previous years in regards to we don't want to pay a player over $1 million and other things, but it looks like they're getting a bit more aggressive
And this is Tom Morris talking about Will Haywood.
Free agent Will Haywood is hot property right now. Sydney's offered the 25-year-old a deal, but he sparked interest from rivals, including two big Victorian clubs who are both in the premiership window. Now, Adelaide and Port are keen on the South Australian. We knew that. But tonight, I can confirm Carlton and Melbourne are firmly in the hunt for Haywood as a free agent at the end of the year, and both would offer long-term deals. So Haywood's choice will be between the Swans, where he's played 142 games, and the Blues, Demons, Port or Crows. Sydney remains confident he'll re-sign, but with these clubs circling, it's a huge career decision. It's also important to note, as a restricted free agent, Sydney can match any offer.
Can I do an early captain's call before we do captain's call?
Okay.
Errol, Will, Crows, pick one.
Well, Gordon signed for 4 years.
No,
so
well, but that means nothing.
Well, you take Gordon every day of the week because he's a star and he's 22 years of age. He's 3 years younger. But the thing about this deal with Haywood, Haywood's a free agent, so you don't have to give up draft picks. Mm. He's 25. He's right in that age bracket. Look, any club would want him. It's if he wants to come home, then it's which club is going to win that race and who's he better suited to? Where are the opportunities going to lie for him?
Captain's call straight after this, and thank you for the text, Mark, who really enjoyed the interview with Darren Burgess. It's SENSA.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
8 minutes to eight. Good morning to you. We're in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. Our Brekkie Brownlow, there's something I've discovered. It's groundbreaking audio that features Mark Bickley.
No.
You don't want to miss 8:15 this morning, thanks to Con and Lena at the Brighton Trophy Centre. The best in SA, Brighton Road. I've done nothing. Happy birthday to Con. It was Con's birthday yesterday. Go and see him at Brighton Trophy Centre. They will look after you. A text coming in, 0427154166. This is from Steve. How come you've not mentioned that Jeremy Finlayson had been a target of rocks thrown at his home? What these idiots have done is a criminal offence. It should be highlighted. Well, that's, yeah, it's just stupid. That's just idiots doing things. That's the same as people taking football incidents personally and going to people's houses. We saw it with Eddie Betts a couple of weeks ago. Like, it's just ridiculous. Will said the Crows are getting beyond desperate. I got an email to train with them these school holidays. Select me in the 22 and I'll do half a pie night, which is good.
Will's one of our comedians. We like Will's.
I love Will's stuff. Will, continue, please. Lance says, boys, in this town mostly, there's a lot of talk about how poor Adelaide's recruiting is and how much better Port's is. In reality, neither's been great. At the end of the day, the Crows were in a grand final in 17. The Power haven't really troubled the last day in September since 2007. The odds are stacked against non-Victorian sides. We're all battling. Port has potential to win finals now. Need to not stumble. Crows' time will come soon when the current batch peak.
I think Port's Achilles heel has been their finals form.
Yeah.
They've put themselves in the slot often enough, but they haven't been able to break through and make it to the grand final.
That's why, as fans, I feel, and it was interesting to hear Craig McRae talk about something similar. As fans, this stuff now, the regular season means nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's about qualifying, and then the real test is finals for Port Adelaide. Yep. So, yep, bank the wins when you can. I learnt nothing about the Essendon game apart from Jason Horne-Francis is a really good player and Connor Rosie had an outstanding performance.
I think the thing about Port fans that they can take comfort in is they've been able to transition much more smoothly than what Adelaide have. So Adelaide's transition was burn it to the ground and start again. Port Adelaide, they've seen off Westhoff and Gray and all those sort of older players, Paddy Ryder, but they've still maintained that level and they haven't gone to the actual bottoming out to get back up there. And now they're in the enviable position of having Butters and Rosie, who are both all Australians. You've got Horne-Francis is probably the most exciting 21-year-old in the competition in their midfield for the next 8 years. So they are in a position to challenge again on the back of that midfield for a significant period of time.
Very good point. And Luke says, I am a one-eyed Port fan. I love the negativity about Adelaide at the moment. I really despise Finlayson's actions. Port have some good issues at the selection table this week. All right, Bix, let's do a very quick captain's call.
Captain's call on SENSA Breakfast.
A Okay, Bix, so you don't need to give a lot of detail in your answers. You just need to make a call because you're the captain. Mark Bickley.
Yes, go.
Who does the AFL Players Association represent? Are they representing Jeremy Finlayson or gay footballers, or are they just after consistency?
I think they're just after consistency, but the caveat to that is if you get the first one wrong and you want consistency, you're then pegged to being wrong forever and a day. So I feel like you just got to, you just need to get it right. And if you have to backpedal and say, we got the first one wrong, well, so be it. But I think that the AFL Players Association have a role, but they don't want to go down the path of saying we can't be too hard on Jeremy Finlayson, I don't think.
I need to throw this in very quickly. I'm a stat man. Sam Taylor has had 15 defensive one-on-one contests in 2024. He's won 15 of them. Is he a lock for All Australian already?
That's a stupid comment.
Whoa.
We're four games in. He's five games in, probably. They've played in the opening round.
Oh, sorry. I'm the idiot.
I just think it's too early to call. He was amazing last year, but only played 16 games, got a hamstring injury, I think, so may have just missed out. He is the best, in my eyes, he's the best defender in the competition. Those stats prove it. If he continues along that line and he gets over 16 games this year, he will definitely be the All-Australian fullback.
All right.
Or centre halfback.
Could have just said no. He didn't get personal. Speaking of which, what kind of idiot would tip the West Coast Eagles this weekend?
Yeah, you looking at him?
Okay, wonderful. All right, nice and quick. Would you rather Cozzy Pickett miss a game here and there and play close to the edge with sometimes going over, or pull back completely and lose some of that edge?
I would like him to miss a game every now and then and stay on the edge, but every now and then is not being reported and missing games three times in 30 games. I'm talking one in every 50 games.
The last competitive game the Crows Sandford team played was on Good Friday. How can you pick someone from that team to come into the AFL squad? Because they're going to have to.
Well, that or they pick Luke Pedler, who dropped out of the side and came. And
that looks silly then. If they drop Pedler, he's got no exposed form apart from training.
Well, they did it with Sam Berry last week. They dropped Sam Berry and then he didn't play and then he comes back in. So what it says is you've got to rely on training form. So they do match simulation. They do a whole range of things and you are backing in what you are doing on the training track.
Travis Boker's sore. Scott Pendlebury is sore. You're going to give him an extra week to recover now?
Just give him whatever it takes. Those guys are very important to the makeup and the whole sort of feel of the side. I don't think you need to be rushing those guys in. It's a long season.
Should we rename Saturday Sweeter Day? So in Pal Pepper, out Boke, out Finlayson, in Jordan Sweet.
It's a situation where if Port Adelaide were going to play two ruckmen, sort of the planets have aligned to maybe try it this week. We know that Luke Jackson looks like he's becoming a star of the AFL for Fremantle. Sean Darcy's an All-Australian ruckman as well. He comes back in. If they were to both play, I think that presents a point of difference for Fremantle and what they bring. This would be the time if you wanted to try and play two ruckmen, you could do it. And Finlayson going out means that Sweet could, or Soldo more particularly, could probably spend some more time up forward.
Very nice captain's call. We can talk about Port Adelaide with Miles Bergman, who joins us straight after this on SEN.
With Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
2 minutes past eight on SEN SA Breakfast. Been a massive, massive show. The sun's shining across beautiful Adelaide, going for 22 degrees today. We have a bit of regular programming now. Gather Round has moved out of South Australia and Port Adelaide get to have a home game on Saturday night against Fremantle, who I think Bix have been here for the week.
They have.
It's going to be a challenging game because Frio very unlucky not to get the result against Carlton on Saturday, a player who's had an outstanding season to date and was part of that brilliant win against Essendon on Friday night is Miles Bergman. Miles, good morning to you. Back at Adelaide Oval, it's been a couple of games in a row there. I'm sure that gives the team a fair bit of comfort playing at home so often.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me. And definitely we love Adelaide Oval, obviously. Home games are great and good to have the fans there. They've always been amazing for us. So having three in a row is just a massive bonus.
The performance on last Friday night was outstanding. You just blew Essendon off the park, which was very good. And it sort of feels like you've been building up to that form. It hadn't been perfect, you know, at periods against West Coast and again against Richmond, but that was a really consistent performance.
Yeah, definitely. We covered it over the last few weeks. We knew we played some good footy, but it was just very inconsistent, and we wanted to try and put on a four-quarter solid effort, and I think we finally sort of found that, and hopefully we can continue that throughout the season and this week.
Things seem to be clicking with the defenders which have been recruited to the club. Asava's in good form, Brandon Zirk-Thatcher as well. I probably should say Brandon Zirk-Thatcher's almost been a bit flying under the radar. How impressed have you been with his performance so far in Port Adelaide colours?
He's been so important for us, as have all the other boys as well. Like you said, over the off-season, we went and filled a few holes that we needed to fill. And they've all been doing their part. Big Van in the ruck, and then the two boys down back have just been really solid. And like you said, Brandon's been super the last few weeks for us.
So let's talk about that ruck then, because you mentioned Ivan Soldo, and with the absence of Jeremy Finlayson, we were just talking then, Miles, about the potential for Jordan Sweet to come in. He's only had one game of exposed form for the Magpies, and he had, I think, 46 hitouts. He's been impressive, and he's come to the club to play football. So is he pretty keen to get in front of the selectors for this weekend?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. He's been pretty unlucky. He's had a good pre-season, and like you said, he had a very good game first round. So we'll see what the selectors decide to go with, but I'm sure he'd be up for contention.
You would have had a look at what Fremantle are doing so far this year. I'm just looking at their points against. They've only conceded 250 points so far this year, which is the best defence, and it's about six or seven goals better than the second best defence. So they do really make it difficult to score against. Your offence has been really good, so it's a bit of a test for both teams. You're going to put your great offence against their great defence. It's going to be exciting to see who comes out on top.
Yeah, we covered it earlier this week, and it's going to be very exciting. Like you said, a great challenge for both of us. We came up against them in the pre-season, and yeah, their defence is very strong, so we'll see if our offence can keep going the way it has, and if not, we'll see how we can work around it and keep playing some good footy.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, we say they're hard to play against. I heard the Carlton players say that, you know, that they're just really tough to score against. What is it in particular they do? Do they get their wingers back? Do they congest and push into your forward 50? What are some of the things they do that make it difficult to score against?
I think they just own and control the ground really well. When we have the ball, they make you go slow. They don't give you the opportunity to play on and run with it and go quick. They defend the ground really well and make options like pretty much unavailable and force you to where they want to go.
So that's why when you've got great kicks across halfback like yourself and Kane Farrell, if you can move that ball quickly and you've got to get it moving really quickly before they get the chance to own that, I guess.
Yeah, we're just going to try and keep playing our way and try and bite off a few, not force too many, but just go quick and see if we can get through before it's set up.
Miles, can we ask you about the performance of Connor and Jason Horne-Francis on Friday night? Because when you're watching the game on television or you're listening to SEN, you get a real sense of the impact that they're having. Jason had more clearances than the whole Essendon team combined. For you as players, do you know the impact they're having whilst in the game, or does it take a bit of reflection to go, wow, that was a pretty amazing effort from two really young players at the football club?
Yeah, I'd say a bit of both. Like, you can definitely notice that they're playing a good game, but you don't really notice how good because we're all in it, we're all focused. And then, reflecting back on Monday, we sort of really congratulated them and sort of praised them on their work and how hard they've been working to get to that point. So, it's massive.
Miles, great opportunity this weekend to put your game on display against one of the other teams contending for some of those spots high up in the top eight. Let's hope your fans turn up and support you and you can put on a good show for them.
Yeah, can't wait. They always do, so it'll be great again.
Miles Bergman joining us on SENSA. Also, Bix, for those people in the Port Adelaide area, I know that Willy Rioli is going to be at the Port Mall today. So really? From okay. 4 till 5, there's a sports store there called Intersport. Mm-hmm. So he's got some giveaways and doing a signing session. So if you want to get the chance to meet Willie Rioli, a brilliant young player for the football club, and you live in that area, it's a wonderful opportunity to go and get to know him.
He's such a watchable player, isn't he? Yeah. He's got these tricks that he does. He gets excited. He can take a hanger. He can snap a goal. He can balk. He can step around players. Yeah, really enjoy watching him play.
It's 8 minutes past eight. The Bricky Brownlow is next, thanks to Con Lena at the Brighton Trophy Centre. Now, if you are someone that is interested in getting some trophies, some medals, some badges and stuff, they have discount for all SE and SA listeners. So go check them out online. Go see them on Brighton Road. Next, there is some audio which is going to create shockwaves throughout the sporting community of South Australia. And it involves you, Mark Bickley.
Should I be worried?
Yes, you should be. Find out next. It's 9 minutes past eight. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
Quarter past eight. Good morning to you. Mark Bickley's tips very soon for the weekend's footy. And also, we've got to give away our Golf Box $150 voucher, the home of the biggest range of golf's best brands. So if you have any last-minute texts, send them in, 0427 154 166. Bix, before the Brecky Brown. How are you going over there? You're just having a look at some shirts you're going to buy. Real switched on. Yeah.
No, there's a text here that's having a crack at you. Saying it's Junior Rioli. Lift your game.
You tidied that text up. His name is Willie Rioli.
That's right.
So thank you for the text. I appreciate the abuse, but you're wrong. Con and Lena at the Brighton Trophy Centre. The best in SA. We love those guys. Happy birthday, Con. I went to see you for your birthday. Bix. Not
well,
so much.
Well, we sort of nominate each year who should go and say happy birthday. And
all right, just start us off with the Brecky Brown, though. We highlight the best and worst parts of the week.
We do indeed. And I'm going one day, and old habits are hard to break, aren't they? And yesterday, you had a bit of trouble with Bryce Gibbs' name.
Mark Keane joining us there. He was really impressive, Bix, and a player that I think has surprised a few.
Yeah, no,
I called you Bix then.
You did. It was a bit of a slap in the face, wasn't it? And look,
Bryce is really flat.
Slap in the face.
Safe to say he was flat. We're learning about you, Mark Bickley. Today we've learned that you're wearing the same shirt and you are in our photo shoot that's behind you in Studio Lumo.
Yeah.
We've learned that you used artificial intelligence to put a photo of you and with Alex from Glam.
I was actually there.
We also learned what you like to watch on TV. So they had to see how far they could kick it. And there were three boys in the water. So if the
men... As in sort of not, yeah, so, not young men.
Yeah, so once they were saved and pulled out of the water.
Buoys.
Are they called buoys?
I don't know. That's what they called them on Baywatch.
Oh, you were Baywatch guy, were you? Who was your favourite? Mitch.
David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, I think that was Mitch.
Was it?
Mitch Cleary or whatever. Anyway, and then we found out on the same day what you get up to on the weekend.
I go to an appointment and some, you know, I think it might take a half hour, but it might take an hour and a half. Like, so sometimes, you know, the day I get waylaid.
Pardon? That's between you and Tori.
Waylaid. I looked up the dictionary meaning and it said to be ambushed or to, for something to take longer than what you expect.
Cool.
So correct use of the word waylaid.
Everyone, well done. Well done, everyone. Great work.
Just because you haven't heard of a word doesn't mean it's not in the dictionary.
Good point. What do you got for the three votes?
No, before we get to the three, you were always having a crack at me about being distracted, just like you were then.
You when literally were looking at, and I would say don't buy that shirt you're looking at because it doesn't suit you.
But you got distracted yesterday, I'm led to believe.
Adam Saad, when he kicks the ball. Oof, there's Eugene Warrior. G'day, Huge. Saw Eugene on the weekend. Sorry, I get distracted during this. Eugene, it was like, Petrarca!
Oh, no, but you're in the middle of having a conversation. Bryce is, you know, the guy who's helping out. He's filling in and he's making a point. And then, oh, Eugene Warrior's here. Oh, g'day, mate. Like,
so good.
You weren't even engaged with what Bryce
He said he
was
listens
saying.
To the show. I saw him at the footy
on
the weekend.
I know, but what about poor Bryce? He was making a point that you were just what in the space out in the window.
I'll try to be more focused. But you and I, we can be honest with each other, right, as we get to the three votes.
Yeah.
So when I leave Studio Lumo a lot later than you, I feel that you say you've got to go see a man about a dog and you've got to go do things.
Yeah.
But I only found out recently doing some compliance training yesterday where basically everything goes to air. You've been practicing some things in the studio with the microphones on that I didn't know about.
What?
I feel like you've been doing your own recording sessions and they have been brought to my attention today. I won't name Trav, who allowed me to hear this audio. So let me play the first one for you. This is your preview for Adelaide and Carlton this weekend.
Jared, you know I'm not one for big statements, but I just have a feeling the Crows are about to embark on a winning run. They have superstars all over the park. Sam Berry is ready to explode at an FL level. Chase Jones is threatening to break a game right open any week, and Patrick Parnell looks like the next Caleb Daniel. I'm backing the Crows to beat Carlton by 57 this weekend, and the Fog will kick 8. That's AI.
That's, mate, this is the audio I've been given, and I was shocked when I heard that.
What about when it said AFL?
Because then I heard the next one, which is the three votes for Mark Bickley.
Jared, I must admit that watching Port Adelaide play at the moment, I'm developing a real soft spot. If they win the flag this year, I will become a Port fan for life. I'm wanting to get my lawyer involved here. I'm being misrepresented.
There's the three votes to Mark.
That's amazing. So that's literally, you can come out and say, that's AI generated that.
It is. It sounds
a little bit robotic.
It sounds very robotic and like you haven't spent a lot of time living in Australia.
Jared, I must admit that watching Port Adelaide play at the moment, I'm developing a real soft spot. If they win the flag this year, I will become a Port fan for life.
It's just outstanding. There's your three votes. Connor Lena at the Brighton Trophy Centre. We'll wrap up the show next.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
25 minutes past 8 on SENSA Breakfast. Been a big show. We caught up with Aaron Greaves from Carlton, Darren Burgess from Adelaide, Miles Bergman from Port Adelaide. All of that and plenty more will be on the podcast. We also got together all of the big TV shows last night and their opinions in regards to the Jeremy Finlayson penalty. Our text line 0427154166. Bix, did you want to award the text of the day for the golf box voucher?
Yeah, Mark sent us in a few texts today and they were all very good. So you win that golf box voucher. Thanks, Mark.
$150 that is worth. Now, your tips, Mark Bickley, supercoachtips.com.au in the advertiser today. Can you go through the games and let us know who you are tipping, please, apart from the West Coast Eagles?
Yes,
wow.
I'm going with Melbourne to beat Brisbane, the Bulldogs to beat Essendon, the Giants to beat St Kilda. I've actually, for the first time this year, I'm not tipping Adelaide. I think it's me. The fact that I've tipped them, they've lost, so I'm tipping Carlton, going for the reverse psychology there. The Gold Coast to beat the Hawks, Port Adelaide to beat Frio, Geelong to beat North. I've gone for the Eagles to beat Richmond, and there's a bye. Both the Pies and the Swans have a bye.
Pie bye.
Yes, indeed. Do we want to do it on this day quickly?
Oh, I'd love to.
Firstly, happy birthday, Jake Fraser McGurk, born in Box Hill, Victoria, on this day. And anyone seen the movie The Hurricane?
Mm-hmm.
Reuben Carter. Reuben Hurricane Carter was released from prison on this day. Here's the story of the hurricane. In 1996. He spent 20 years in prison after being wrongly arrested as a murder suspect. Can you believe that? So it was made into a movie in 1999. Denzel Washington played Reuben Carter.
What's your favourite Denzel movie?
The Hurricane.
What about The Equalizer?
No.
What about The Equalizer 2?
No.
The Equalizer 3?
No. What else is he in?
Training Day is one of the greatest movies of all time, and that's a Denzel movie.
There's other ones he's in. I like, what was...
Man on Fire?
I like it when he's a lawyer. He's been a lawyer in a couple of... Philadelphia. Was he a lawyer in Philadelphia?
Mm.
That was a good movie. Tom Hanks.
All right. Well, there's your movie review from Mark Bickley. Glad I asked. Pete from Mundura wants to know, if he's going to see me playing Masters hockey this weekend.
Are we going to see you playing Masters hockey? You talk a big hockey game about...
No, I don't. I'll have you know that I might be making a return to the Div 4s this weekend.
Is that Masters or is that just Div 4?
That's just Div 4. Big grudge match against the Woodville Peckers at Pecker Park.
And who do you play for?
Play for the Grange Royal Sea Eagles.
The Grange Royal Sea Eagles.
Yeah, so Grange and Royal Park merged. So the Grange Royals Sea Eagles.
Have you got the seal of approval from the King since you're using his moniker?
What do you mean?
Well, the Royal Sea Eagles, you need King Charles to give you the stamp of approval.
Mm. I have a question. Did you get halfway through saying that and realise that it was just something silly? That's why you kind of gassed out.
Kept going with it.
What's on today for you, mate, and this weekend?
I'm doing a bit of a workshop today. Assisting. I'm not doing it. I'm a leadership workshop. So, yeah, doing that in the city early this morning.
That's wonderful. And the footy this weekend should be good. We really hope that you get to Cooper Stadium on Friday night and you get to Cooper Stadium on Friday night because the one at Norwood has a Sandful game and the one at Hindmarsh has an A-League game.
Cooper's all around.
Yes, so good luck to Adelaide United. I'm going to head to the Reds after this and go have a chat with Nestor Iyerenkunda just to see how he's going and get a bit of a farewell message. But we appreciate everybody listening this week. We've had so many texts. Lots of calls and lots of you getting involved. And even if it's just you guys coming up in the street and saying, hey, we're listening, we genuinely appreciate it. We're having fun in here and we're talking a bit of sport, which is what it's all about. So, Bix, have a wonderful weekend with your family. Good luck to both Crows and Port and whoever you are supporting. And we're back on Tuesday, aren't we?
Tuesday, indeed, we are.
All right, we'll see you then. Have a good one, Bix.
Okay, bye-bye.